Church, experience the Father, experience Jesus. Turn with me to James 1. James, the half-brother, I kind of chuckle at the half-brother of Jesus. It's Mary had many children after Jesus, and James is one of them, and it's a cool thing that he became a man of God, follower of Jesus. James, the brother of our Lord. How about that, eh? James chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. Going to read together, but first God bless, God open ears, God open hearts, God cause us to receive, help me to speak quickly, help that we will be able to glean all that you have for us this morning and to take it with us and live it out of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I could have started right at verse 1, but we'll begin at I'm going to start at verse 2, and here we go, and then we'll be skipping. We're going to go 2 to 4 and then to 12. There's so much more in there, and there are sermon upon sermon upon sermon in these short scriptures and the letter from James to the church. It's fantastic. But verse 2, consider it all joy. Right. When you encounter various trials, troubles, tribulations, temptations, whatever you want to call it. Isn't it great? No. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? Because knowing that the testing of your faith produces good things. Endurance, for one. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, which is complete, mature. Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Man, you can be all that God wants you to be. And then verse 12, blessed is a man who perseveres under these various joyful trials. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away, get carried away, and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, it just occurs to me, and it's occurred to me in the last couple of weeks as I was preparing this sermon, that there's three things that God does not do. Three things God does not do. God does not change. We know that. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. God is never changing. His word is always thus and so. He's not wishy-washy. He's not one way today and another way tomorrow. He's not unpredictable. He's the same God as his word has declared him to be all the time. Isn't that great? You know, sometimes I get it wrong, and when we discipline our kids, sometimes we get it wrong, and when we have rules, and sometimes they're rules, and sometimes they're not. But not with God. He's not unpredictable. You can know very much so what God is like. And he's not going to change. He's not going to grow different over time. He also does not lie. His truth is always truth. Not kind of truth, not a flexible truth, not what's truth for you is different than truth for me. I got that back. What's truth for you is not the same as what's truth for me. Truth is truth is truth, wherever you find it. And God only speaks truth because God is God. And one other thing, God does not tempt. Never let it be said that God has tempted you. That's what James says. And if it's in the Word of God, it is true because God's Word is truth. Praise the Lord. God does not change. God does not lie. God does not tempt. But here's another thing. God will allow us to go through various trials. That's truth. Anyone Ever had a trial? Maybe a various trial? Of course we have. And some of you are going through heavy, heavy burdens, heavy trials right now in your life. Very concerning thing. I mean, did you see that when we invited people to come forward for prayer? That's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? We are all going through it. The storms of life. In this world, you will have trouble, God's word says. You will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He didn't say, I will keep you from troubles. I have overcome the world, so when you go through this world of trouble, know that I am with you, and I will help you, and we will together overcome every trial, every trouble in this world. Ultimately, we win. God wins. God is victor over every... We are not victims. We are victors. Amen? Victorious. Not victimized. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Christian does not have to be a victim of his circumstance, but can have victory even in times of trial and testing. Amen. Here's my sermon. A little story. You may have heard this before. I like it. It comes from Max Lucado's book, The Eye of the Storm. It's about Chippy the parakeet. Poor Chippy. Oh, you know we're in trouble here. The owner tells a story, the lady tells a story, she wanted to clean Chippy's bird cage, you know, and thought, well, a little quicker. I don't have a lot of time, so I'll just grab the vacuum, and I'll vacuum in, change the paper out and vacuum in the cage. I'm not going to take Chippy out. You see that where we're going. You know, it doesn't take long to go, oh my. And she's vacuuming away, and then the phone rings, and she reaches to the phone. Oh no, Chippy, Chippy. And she turns off the vacuum, and thank goodness she didn't have a built-in. She'd have to run to the basement through 500 feet, hose and that, and find poor little Chippy. But she found little Chippy in the vacuum, and she opens the vacuum and pulls a little, and poor little Chippy. Oh, poor, poor Chippy. She covered with lint and dust and what is that? And it's just nasty on poor little Chippy. So she thinks, I'll wash her off. I'll run to the bathroom. I'll get the shower head because, you know, it's got a wand. That'll work. And she's, oh, poor Chippy. You know, and this isn't good. I mean, birds like bird baths, but this is like a shower of blessing. And this is more than Chippy can handle. And now poor little Chippy's shivering, and oh, this isn't good, so she grabs a hairdryer. And she's holding Chippy, and she actually hits it on full and blows Chippy right out of her hand, and you know, Chippy's against the window, and this isn't going well at all. So the person hearing this story says, so when did a couple days ago this happened, eh? So how's little Chippy today? He says, well, Chippy doesn't sing anymore. Kind of lost her song, you know, and that's tough. But I can certainly appreciate that poor Chippy just never knew what hit her. It was tough. It was absolutely tough. I mean, isn't that like it? Sucked in, washed up, blown over. That sums up how many of us feel at times. Amen? You know, it is hard to be joyful. But God says, count it all joy. Wow. Sucked in, washed up, blown away. Sometimes in the midst of these trials, it seems like we are powerless. An army chaplain had a sign on his door to his office. It said, if you have trouble, come in and tell me about it. If you don't have trouble, come in and tell me how you did it. James reminds us of the reality that even in the Christian life, there are trials, troubles, temptations. However, the Christian does not have to be a victim of his circumstance. Amen? We have victory. Victory, even in times of trial and testing. There is something greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, than anything that is in the world. Everything that is in the world. James tells us no matter what the trial, no matter what the outside circumstance, we can experience a victory in the midst of that. And we must, as believers, know a few truths here this morning. Faith is always tested. That's just how it is. Your faith is being tested, which is why James encourages us to count it as joy when you encounter various troubles, because those trials and troubles will grow something wonderful out of them if you let God work through you and through them. Trials produce, as we read in the scriptures and others around it, endurance and patience and maturity and wholeness and contentment and wisdom and stability. I want all of that. I wish I could just get it. Special delivery. That would be much easier if we could just get all of that wrapped up in a bow, lovely package, open it up, receive it all, kind of a download, if you will. Boom, I've got it. I am ready to go. But it doesn't work that way. They are not just so many apps that you can install and have, and some of them are, they're all free, but they also come at a great cost, these apps for life. I'll tell you what, it's difficult. Count it all joy. And then at the end result, God's approval, approved by God, and the crown of life. When the Lord says, and this is, I believe, what he's talking about when he says approval. Well done, good and faithful. Enter into your reward. That's the end of the story. The end of the trials of life isn't just to get to the end of the next trial and then start another. Please don't think that. There's your life, and then life really begins. Amen. Heaven, oh my Lord, thank you for heaven. Thank you. And while on the other hand, we read in verse 14 and 15, when one is tempted, it is because he is carried away. And enticed, actually, the words that carried away infer the idea of being lured. Come on, come on, come on. Lured away from safety and into a dangerous place. But God is not doing that to us. What it says is we are tempted, we become carried away and enticed by our own inside us lusts. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin grows up, it becomes death. What a thing. I mean, the idea, it's conceived in us. It's like there's something growing in you. And it's described as like a pregnancy. But it begins in you, and it doesn't begin outside of you. You know, people would suggest that, well, no, somebody put that $50 bill here, and now I'm tempted by it. Really? $50 bills are temptation? Would a $2 bill be as much? Probably not. 50 cents, even less? How's that work? 1,000? Really tempting? There's nothing tempting there. It's just a thing. It's an inanimate object, a thing. It's in us. That's where sin comes from. Oh, I want that. I could have that. I think I'll explain it away like this. God meant for it to be there for me. This is the answer to my need. How fantastic. I was short for groceries, and look at there. Perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Never thank him for temptation either. Never thank him for the opportunity to sin. God does not tempt. Every trial is an opportunity to show our faith, to grow in character, to do the right thing. Now, that needs to be birthed in us. That needs to grow up in us. And then how is it describes it as when it is conceived and then gives birth to sin. How will we give birth instead to wonderful things, to good things? And instead of this, the sin that has been born in us and then grows up and brings death to that end, death, how about instead life? How about instead those same circumstances could bring opportunity? A great testing that you pass. And then it grows. It is born of you. And then it grows and it brings great life and a great example for your children, for everyone around you. At the conclusion of the book of Genesis, Joseph, you remember Joseph, the son of Jacob, sums up his life journey. You remember how he was sold into captivity by his brothers and that he was a prisoner. And then he was placed in a position of authority, and then he was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife, and then boom, he's in prison again for a bunch of years, and he struggled, but everywhere he went, he rose above circumstance. And eventually, he was second in all of Egypt, Joseph. And he said this about his life. He summed it up this way. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. That same trial, all those trials could have turned out completely differently. He could have reacted completely negative and been hateful and angry and just cursed God and everyone around him and hated his brothers and just stewed on all his hurts. And when his brothers finally appeared there in Egypt, he would have been, finally, now I get even. Do you see how that would have been conceived and born and grew up and brought death? But he would not have that. God did not have that happen in his life. Praise the Lord. Instead, God used it for good. For good. Hallelujah. Trials for some is testing. But for others, it's temptation. But it's the very same situation. And it can bring such drastically different results. But for the Christian, it is certain that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Every snare, every weapon, every situation that the enemy might put before you, or just circumstance happens to lay in front of you, it will fail. If you follow rightly God's word, every weapon. Did you hear that? No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you will fail. No weapon, every tongue. He didn't leave anything out. It's all of it. God's tests to bring out our best. Satan tempts to bring out our worst. Which way do you want to go with that? Testing works for us, not against us. That's what James is saying. So it is joy. It is hard. It is difficult. Submit to God through those difficult times. It is genuine. It is proven. You remember those old westerns? And you'd always have, you know, just a gnarly old gold prospector, you know. He'd be all hair and he'd have a donkey. And he didn't have a talking donkey, but that would have been cool too. And he'd be panning and finally after all these years and he's hunched over and he'd go, gold! Yeah! Gold! I got some gold! And he'd dance around and I could just see that. And he'd be so excited. He'd go, oh, doggy, I got me some gold! And he'd run into town and I got... And he'd go to the assayer. You know what an assayer is? That would be the one who tests to see if the gold is the real deal. And he'd bring in this little nugget. He's got his claim way back in the bush somewhere in a gully, in a spot nobody knows about, this prospector. And he takes it to the assayer, who's a type of a chemist, and he'll test the gold, he'll refine it, and he'll do some different testings on it to see what it's made of. To see what it's made of. And if the assayer says it's genuine, wow. Well, that piece of gold might only be worth a few dollars, especially back in those days. But what it represents is all of that that is back in that mine, on that claim. It is all of that. Yes, it's only worth a bit, but all of that claim now is genuine and so very valuable. That sample is approved. Just like when we go through a trial. It's one trial, but when it is tested and we see what we're made of and it's approved as genuine and good, it speaks to all of that claim, all of that in us. What are you made of? Is it fool's gold? Will it all burn up? Is it the real deal? Every testing is an opportunity to see if our faith is genuine, if it's gold, because we know everything else will burn up. Everything else will be gone. Trials work for the believer because God approves of our faith when we trust him through the trial. And trials, rightly used, help us to mature. I was watching a TV show two nights ago, Judy and I. I just loved it. One of the situations, and it's talking about human nature and what we're likely to do and how we cope and so on. And here the idea was they've got, I think, about 10 little children, about, you know, like the kids we had here this morning, 6 to 10-year-olds kind of thing. And they tell each one, look, I've got this delicious, and I mean, they couldn't have made it look more delicious. It was a plate, and on that plate was this pink, kind of a cream puffy thing, and it looked, it just was ridiculously delicious looking. I mean, they worked hard to make sure they got something that was just, it would make you lust for it, especially children. A 6-year-old looking at this, and its pinkness, and its deliciousness, and it's just screaming out, eat me! You know, and the fellow says to the kids, okay, to each one their turn, he says, okay, here is this plate. It's a table, a chair, a plate, this delicious little pink puff of yum. And he says, you can have that. Or if you can wait 15 minutes, you get three. Three. Can you wait 15? Oh, yes. Yes, I can. I'm going to wait. I get three. I get one or I get three. Are you kidding me? Of course, 15 minutes, that's nothing. And then the fellow telling this to the children went out and observed them through a one-way mirror, of course, one-way glass. And he's watching the kids. And the poor little kids, they're fidgeting and they're putting their nose against it and they're touching it and they're just, and they're staring, they're fixated on this thing. You know, immature, right? I mean, if you can wait 15 minutes, that would show some maturity. A whole 15 minutes. And these poor kids are just, And one just finally just, right into it. Didn't even, I guess she figured if I don't use my hands, it doesn't count. And it's just, and another one is trying to just, and she's walking around the room, but can't take her eyes off that little cream puff. And smelled it, and yeah, it is as good as I thought. And, you know, and then finally just, broke down. I mean, some of them didn't last 2 minutes. And then the test, these other two, they put two boys in there together. You know, an older and younger brothers, and I'm thinking, like you're two little dudes, right? And there they are, and the one saying to the other, don't eat it. Don't eat it. I have to. Don't eat it. Okay, I won't. We'll wait. It can't be much longer. 1, 2, 3, counts up to 15. Is that 15? No, dummy. And it's like that, and these poor kids, and then all the other ones weakens go, do you think it would matter if we just tasted it? We'll eat one, we'll get the other. They're negotiating now. We'll eat mine. We still have yours. We'll get three for that. And it's just on and on it went. And then, and I'm talking, they'd made it to 14 minutes. And then that was it. They broke. Half of it's on their faces. But some of the kids made it. And we marveled at it, Judy and I. We marveled at those ones because there was some maturity. You know, being able to resist, to wait for the reward. Instead of having it right now because, that was all lust. Lust of the... I want that so much. And you know the kids that succeeded? They were the ones that didn't fixate, that didn't stare at it. One kid stuck his head in the chair. He went like this and just, and he pushed the chair around the room. He says, I can't look at it, I can't look at it. Another one's just, no, not there, it's not there. You know, I wish one of them had prayed, but there they were. They found a way to not look at it. God's word says, flee from every appearance of evil. If sin is there, go that way. Amen? That's what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife was trying to entice him into bed with her. He ran away. He ran away. That was strength. That was not weakness that ran away. That was a flight. That was a good idea. They turned away from the temptation. Blessed is the man whose mind is stayed on Christ. That's what the Lord says. We are, in fact, to take every thought captive. So when you're staring at that, oh, I want that cream puff. No. Whoops. We take that thought captive, and I suggest you even bind it up and throw it into a pit. Get rid of that thought as much as you can. And we read in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Don't dwell on that silly cream puff. Don't dwell on that temptation. Don't dwell on that thing. Instead, get rid of it right now. If you find that $50 bill on the altar, pick it up and take it to the treasurer and say, I believe this belongs to the church. Or maybe not, if it was just found, and we will announce it next Sunday. If somebody can describe this $50 bill, and you'll need to know the numbers on it, other than the 50. No. And so, I mean, quickly, get rid of that temptation. Run away. Destroy the opportunity to be tempted. Instead, have victory every time. I know it doesn't fit for every circumstance, as you are going through a circumstance of your own today, and perhaps you're facing great challenges far beyond the nonsensical things I'm describing, some of it. But God is able. God is able through the small and the great. Every trial, God is bigger. Bigger, bigger, bigger. Yeah. But the measure of maturity is the ability to wait. So I think what James is saying is we can blame God for our troubles. We can trust God through our troubles. Amen. It has been that way since the fall of man. Adam. When God said, Adam, what have you done? In the Garden of Eden, you know, Adam had eaten of the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam said, it was the woman! It was the woman! The woman you gave me, by the way, God. Did you see that? From the very first time, man had fallen victim to temptation. He did not own it. He blamed his wife. And we still do. He blamed someone else. And then ultimately he blamed God, because God gave the woman to be with him. In fact, that's the way Adam says it. He says, it was the woman, you know, the woman that you gave to me. Mm-hmm, yeah, God, all right. Blame God. And it has been that way ever since. Take ownership, folks. Take ownership of the trial, of the temptation, of the tribulation, of the trouble. And say, all right, this is for me. What would God have me to do here? How would I rightly respond and grow through it as I go through it? Wonderful. Wonderful. When the unexpected trials of life land on our doorsteps, how are we to respond? How are we to pray? What should we ask God for? Well, James says, pray for wisdom. Be smart about this. And you're not smart enough. None of us are. We need God's wisdom. We need to go to the source of great wisdom. We need wisdom. And that is more than knowledge. Someone has said that knowledge is the ability to take things apart, while wisdom is the ability to put it all together. Wisdom is using knowledge rightly. We need wisdom when we are going through trials. Our preference, our default, is to pray for deliverance. God, get me out of this. God, make it all okay. I mean, that's what we want. When we are sick, we say, God, heal me now. When we have a financial trouble, we get, God, you're going to have to drop a lot of money in my bank account. When we have a difficult child, we go, you got to turn him around in a minute. Would you just do that? Can we have a moment of trial? But God sometimes says, no, it's not going to be like that. There's going to be a time, a going through to get to the other side of that trial. We need wisdom so we will not waste the opportunity God is giving us to mature. Wisdom helps us to use these circumstances for our good and God's glory. I do believe that if we fail to learn through our trials, we are destined to repeat them. One last story. One day a farmer's donkey fell into a well. That's an old donkey. And an old well. Oh well. It was a big enough well that, the donkey actually fit down there. And you could hear that donkey crying. Ah, you know, as a donkey, I don't know how a donkey, whatever. I don't know. It sounded like a sick duck. And it was crying down in that well. And the farmer was just beside himself. I really should rescue that donkey. It's driving me nuts at the very least. And I really have to rescue. It's still worth something. And it's of some value. And he got his friends together. He got the brain trust together. And their bit of knowledge, they said, you know what? It's an old well. Let's just bury the donkey. Let's just shovel dirt in there and fill that well up. It's lousy water anyways. You got a new, better, safer well. Let's just get rid of that old thing. It's a danger and it's of no use anyways. I'm not talking about the donkey, I'm talking about the well. And maybe the donkey too. So him and his friends, they get together. They're all around the well and they got their shovels and they're you know, they can still hear that donkey crying all the more now as the dirt's dropping, you know, dirt all over the donkey. And it gets kind of quiet, and they keep digging, and they look down. Well, the donkey's not getting buried at all. The donkey is shaking it off and stepping up and shaking it off and stepping up. And they keep shoveling, and now they're just, isn't this something? That's a good donkey. And they're shoveling it in, and the donkey's just shaking it off and stepping up. And after a while, the donkey walks out of the well. Isn't that terrific? That donkey was in some trial, some trouble. Maybe that's some good advice for us. When trouble comes, I wonder, can we shake it off and step up? Here's the moral. Life is going to shovel dirt on you. All kinds of dirt and rocks and sticks, trouble. The trick to getting out of the well is to shake it off and take a step up. Each of our troubles is a stepping stone, and we can get out of the deepest wells if we just step up. Just be wise. Never give up. Never surrender. We are victorious. Shake it off, step up, and don't waste the opportunity to give God the glory. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I do not make light of someone's present trouble. Yeah, we talked about Chippy and the donkey and kids and cream puffs. And that brings some joy. But God, you said count it all joy when you face various trials. So maybe it's all right that we laugh a little out loud, even in the midst of our trouble, knowing that every good gift is from above, and nothing that happens to us is outside of your knowledge. And you will bring us through, and you will grow us out of every trial. Lord, for the one, and there's not just one, there are many in this room who are in the midst of very deep troubles. And to just flippantly say, shake it off, might even be offensive to them. I do not mean to be an offense. But I think of what your word describes as this temporary light affliction is not to be compared to the glory that awaits us. Holy God, exceeding glory that awaits us. Lord God, I pray healing and help. I pray comfort and peace. I pray wisdom for everyone in the midst of their trial. I pray that you would bring others alongside them that will walk with them. I pray that their burden would be made lighter, and I pray that they would know that our God does all things well. I pray peace in the storm, and that when they come to the other side, to that solid shore, they will see the God of heaven, the assayer, that will approve and say, genuine faith, well done, good and faithful. Enter into your reward. In Jesus' name. We all said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I think we should sing that song.
And all the people said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Terry, come and help us. And church, let's stand and sing together, because Judy really likes that song.